All right. Well, it was a challenge, but it was a challenge that I think, or at least I hope, Razor, was worth taking for the Boston Bruins as they took on the Ottawa Senators, a team that played their asses off on Tuesday night. The Bruins win 3-2 in what ended up being a pretty entertaining game to watch, whether you were in the studio, you were ringside, you were at home. It was a good game. As we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, talking about the Bruins victory that started out like anything but entertaining if you were a Bruins fan. Holy crap, was that a first period of dreck, as the Boston Bruins were only down 1-0. But I mean, I just felt like not engaged mentally nor physically. And Razor, I understand that a Tuesday night can be more difficult than a Saturday night in Toronto or Montreal. But, you know, when it's all said and done, bud, this team isn't good enough to take off, you know, not yet at least, right? Periods and time and to wade into a game, especially against a young, energetic team like Ottawa.
No, they're not. And we were made aware of that in the first period, that they can't cruise. Toronto got the brakes beat off of them Monday night against the LA Kings, which is expected to be a, you know, it does happen at this time of year. But back to the Bruins, they did they survived. They were lucky to be out of there 1-0. They certainly could have really shot themselves in the foot, but they got out of that. And you know, you do typically find a way, you know, that 1-0, you know, is a whole big difference than 2-0. And, but again, it's the one issue is it's the getting out of the zone. They're not on the same page. The defense and the forwards watching tonight intently, because we talked about it after the Toronto game, they weren't getting out of the zone very well. There's giveaways, and watching again against Ottawa, it's the same thing. It's the wingers aren't taking the patterns the defensemen are expecting them to. So there's some kind of disconnect, and that's really when they're getting in trouble. Once they, you know, the first period wasn't good in the offensive zone, but they still can find a way to make plays. But it's coming out of their zone when they have full possession that's causing them problems, which is not typical in the NHL.
No, and it started very early in this game, just a little over a minute in, and the Bruins had another turnover, too, even before the Hall turnover. But I understand, speaking of routes, I get it. The Bruins love to use the centerman, a low center in their own zone, whether it's from the D to the front of the net or the center coming in low and getting a short pass from the wing. Like, was Hall expecting that to happen? But if you make these plays, you can't push it. You got to put it on the stick of your teammate, and it, you know, it leads to the Norris goal. And I can live with a mistake early on, but this was more than just one. And this was real. They were, like you said, they were all about getting out of their own zone. And that's what got to me. Mistakes are going to happen, but it's the repeatedness that started to really, and still, by the way, bothers me. They find a way to win in a good way, mind you, a good win, but it still bothers me how ineffective they were in that first period. And, you know, that play typified their first period when Norris scored a goal. And by the way, Swayman had the puck come off of him. I understand. I mean, you should tell me. Was that a bad rebound or just a rebound that's going to happen given where that shot was taken from?
No, that's a bad rebound. I didn't see an interview from him. I didn't hear from him. But that's a bad rebound. And it's a little harder when it's the first shot of the game. That's one of those ones where the turnover happens. You panic a little bit because you're not in the rhythm of the game and it hits you and bounces off. But that's one where at least 96 out of 100 times he smothers that. Mm-hmm. I think we saw, and I'm not a Matt Murray fan by any means, but he smothered all of his shots that were similar. There were some similar plays. And even Swayman in the second period, Brick talked about the big save he made at the 2-1 game prior to giving up the second goal. That was a harder smother to make, and he made it look easy. So no, I didn't like this. I didn't like that goal, especially early in the game. But again, he bounced back from that as well. Similar to the Bruins, he held on and did a good job on the PK. The other thing is, and I'm curious, being closer to the ice, it's harder to see them, but I also got the feel where the Bruins are taking bad penalties.
Awful.
Many bad penalties. Yeah. I thought all of them were penalties against them. And again, that's part of dodging the bullet. Like if they're playing a good team, they're down 2 or 3-0 with 5-on-3s and 4-on-3s and giveaways and just sloppy.
I agree with you. I mean, we talked about in the show, I think it was 7 times or 8 times shorthanded in this game. The Bruins now have been shorthanded. If it was 8 times, 37 times shorthanded this season. I just don't remember that. Oh my God. Was it ever? Let me just pull it up so it's accurate. 6 times. 0-for-6 was Ottawa. Bigger time. So 35 times this year. But at least 2, if not 3 of them were in the O-zone too. Taylor Hall, Jackson DeNika. I mean, that's really, and by the way, I think that, you know, I know that will impact how Bruce looks at. It impacted how he didn't play Taylor Hall the last few minutes. He put Jake DeBrusk out there. He didn't play Jack Stidnik at the end. And, you know, if assuming Uncle Nick Foligno is coming back on Thursday, I don't see Jack, you know, if everybody's healthy.
He's going to go back to the minors. Just not doing it. You got to score. He's got to do something that's impactful. He does. Right. And it can't be a bad penalty. It just, yeah, that's the reality of pro hockey.
Yeah, it's harsh, but it's real. I just think, you know, and I don't want to, I mean, I'll jump to this because this is a podcast. We can go wherever the hell we please. But, you know, you think if Foligno comes back in, you know that he's either taking Trent Frederick's spot or he's going to go back to his third line spot with Halla and DeBrusk. And that'll mean that Lazar would go to the fourth line. Mm-hmm. Well, he was there in this game. Beg your pardon, but
he moved around though. Lazar, they like Lazar. There was 5 minutes left in the third period. They pushed Lazar out. They took Bergeron off. Yeah, actually, when the ref's arm went up, Patrice actually skated off. I was shocked to see that, and Lazar came out and took the face off over on the right side. So I would expect he drops back with Nosek, and what did they bring in? A bleed or you know. One of those guys, Kuhlman maybe checks in. They move Lazar to the lip. Something.
Yeah, maybe. It'll be interesting.
But if Foligno, he's got to go to the third line. Get those guys going again.
I would think so, right? I mean, that's where I would think Foligno goes. I think. We'll see. I mean, again, that's jumping ahead there.
It's secondary to what's going on, too.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of bad stuff in the first to the point where I don't know if anybody ripped them or if the players just took ownership in the locker room. Something happened, no question. And I think they just took ownership is my guess. And by the way, I thought the top guys, top six for sure, but really I thought the top three were really poor in the first period, the Bergeron line. And then they came out and they did top line things in the second and third period. I love the physical play. And mind you, a lot of that was Ottawa. Bringing it. I mean, DJ Smith was a physical player when he played the game. That's how he wants his kids to play. And I'll tell you what, they gap up well. They shut you down, whether it's at even strength. How about in their PK? Holy smokes, did they shut him down in the neutral zone at the line. But then the Bruins thankfully responded physically. And I thought the physical response, Razor, had a big influence in their outcome of the game.
It did. They answered the bell. I think they were probably a little caught off guard by it. It looked like they were caught off guard by it, weren't quite prepared, ready for it. And they came out and started to initiate. As soon, you could tell as soon as whether they were initiating physically or initiating with their skill, Ottawa couldn't hang anymore. They don't have enough. They don't have enough talent flat out. And that was one of those nights where, you know, Matt Murray needs to make a save for them. And he doesn't have that ability in the second period either. His game's not there confidence wise. And so it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, but I think they found that way. They're good at home now. They still have that perfect record. I'm also curious where you know, we've talked about the D, and again, it is a little quiet from a Carlo again, a little quiet from a, even from McAvoy, he had the nice hit in the third period, but just kind of steady. Forbert, listen, another goal from him. I like the way he played. He had some issues on the PK. It looked like they had a little conversation over on the bench, but I'm curious how it looked on the fifth, just where the D were going and how they were
not organized. Great. I mean, it got better as the game went on. I think, you know, they were stepping up more. They were gap deader. Quiet from Riley too. I felt real quiet. You know, Connor Clifton, but he had himself a pretty good game. He was doing Cliffy hockey.
He's in not the
just
mix.
Not just the fight. And by the way, that Formenton cross check should have been called right before the fight. Like, holy shit, cross checked him right in the chin. I don't get that, but okay. From the fifth, the D, you know, look, I tell you what I thought was good from the D Razor movement. They got moving up top. They started to find themselves in more of a rhythm, I thought, more flow as the game went on, especially in the second, late second, and then even some in the third. And I know that helps keep the forecheck alive. It was good. It was at times, but in general, I still have concerns about the D crew as it's constructed right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it just has to be a little crisper. And I am a little less I'm a little less inclined to blame all of these breakouts on the D.
Mm-hmm.
I was maybe a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Because again, they have full possession. I just feel like there's something. You don't see National League defensemen consistently make the wrong play from the back end.
So you're right. Do you remember, sorry to interrupt, do you remember earlier in the game, in the first period, it was, I can't remember which D made it, to Howla, and he freaking didn't handle it right in the neutral zone. I mean, like, not in the neutral zone, but
at the blue line. It's D to D, perfect D to D. They make the right read. Then they make the right play to the forward, and then it blows up somehow.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's some plays on him. The breakaway in the third period, Carlo has no idea the guy's behind him. And he gets his pickpocket, and then the little chip and break, these little breakdowns that you get away with. They're not getting away with it when Connor McDavid gets that breakaway.
No.
It's going to be a little bit different. So I also do get a sense, and I know we're on the podcast, and not to go back to this, but I do get the sense that these guys are really still trying to feel out an 82-game schedule. Being down there, and I think they really are trying to gear themselves up for this, and they recognize they haven't played a lot of games, but they're going to get slammed with them. It just seems like there's this anxiety over that almost.
How can you measure that? Meaning... I'm picking up. I get what you're saying, but how do you? Is it just how do you measure that? Like from your perspective, if they were a team that was kind of rolling through things, I'd have an easier time accepting that. I don't right now because they don't have an identity right now. They don't have that. Tampa's got the cachet, as far as I'm concerned, to say, let's. Hold on here. Let's figure this thing out. And by the way, that might even come to bite Tampa in the ass. They've been losing some games, but I give them the benefit of the doubt right now, Razor.
No, I agree as well. But I also look at Florida. Now they've just got hammered two games in a row. They mm-hmm. lose. They get hammered by New Jersey. They lose to New York the night before. Oh, they lost two games in two nights. They don't have a coach now. They lost the Bruins on the all of a sudden you can spin the Florida Panthers into that. I think every team is the identity thing isn't mm-hmm. going to happen. I think it's going to take a little bit longer.
Fine with that.
The craziness and the 56 games, they needed the identity quicker. It was just a weird year. I think this year is that identity. It's back to thinking about and maybe it got pushed to Christmas time, got pushed to the holiday season rather than that Thanksgiving number, maybe because of the end of the season. And but they have to get to it, and I'm not giving them a pass on that. They do have to get to it because they can't float till the end of January to find their identity. They need to get it, and I give you that. I just think that it's odd. It just seems odd right now.
Yeah, I would agree with I definitely agree with that. It doesn't feel, it feels different. It feels off. I don't know if they can get there though if the second and third line don't start scoring.
Yeah, no, it has to be the second line. I agree. The third line is done a pretty good job. I think they've been unlucky. Whereas the second line, again, like Craig Smith is non-existent tonight. Mm-hmm. Taylor Hall, non-existent. Charlie Coyle, I literally sat on the glass all game. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Charlie Coyle once. Literally once, I don't remember him. Those guys are making, and I hate going to the money thing, but those guys are getting paid a lot of money to drive this team. And against an Ottawa Senators team, they should have good matchups. They should be able to dictate how they want to play the game. So I agree. That's a little worrisome.
Coyle played 13-11. Hall played 11-26. And then Smith played 10-52. So for the
that's crazy. That's crazy.
Two out of the last three games, the third line has vastly out time on ice the second line. Mm-hmm. I know we had special teams. I get it. But you want Charlie Coyle being out there killing penalties, don't you?
Yeah.
He played 106 shorthanded, so he got some PK time. Craig Smith did a little bit PK. He had a minute 42 of power play time. Not as much, obviously, as a top unit, but it's the 5-on-5, the even strength numbers, where they just aren't playing a ton. So they need those guys to pick it up. They do. You cannot go anywhere without that line getting going.
1,000%. They need to score goals like Patrice did tonight. They need to find a way to score goals. Right.
Just scramble.
Plunk it in on net. Yes. Like, nothing pretty. It doesn't have to be tic-tac-toe. Like, find a way.
Well, Bruins get goals from Derek Forbert, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand. The Marchand goal comes on a power play with him just standing pretty much in the crease on the far post. Pastrnak. I wouldn't put it past Pastrnak to shoot towards there, knowing that Marchand would be right there. I don't know if he meant to shoot it that high.
I thought he took some off of it to put it in that area.
Yeah, I thought so too. But you could tell by Marshy's response, he kind of jerked a little bit right there when it caught him, because it didn't hit him in the shins. It hit him in the midsection. Yeah. And then Forbert with the nice goal coming in from the point. And then the captain, Patrice Bergeron, your roomie and your Zamboni driver, he's a rider. Mm-hmm. You were a driver.
Let's not forget that. I wasn't
exactly. Charged. You drove. You're a line driver, or, you know, in that case, you drove the line in the commercial.
I'm a Hall of Fame driver, yes.
Everybody has their role. By the way, Dan Craig, the ice guru for the NHL, just retired, and he should go to the Hall of Fame for making ice like he has done for the league, especially with the outdoor games. Total off the beaten path type of suggestion. Let's throw in here a real quick morning brew friend, because Spark Skate Sharpener back again as a sponsor on this show. And the spark of the game. What was there a spark of the game that you had besides, just being down ringside for this one? Is there anything that sparked your interest?
The spark. I want to give it to Forbert for his spark of the going down the wing, scoring another goal, big defenseman. Mm-hmm. I think that's. That's my spark of the game. I don't know. Did you have something else in mind? Or
I liked Marchand's in the second period, his stick handling along the wall and the offensive zone, brought it back up. On the right side, kind of brought it over. I thought that was a moment that got people back energized. It brought people from the back of their seat to the front of their seat. Because I got to tell you something, man, the intermission at the first, between the first and the second, when they did the 3 minutes of fame with the little kids out there from Top Gun, that was more entertaining for the fans than anything the Bruins did in the first period. So they had nothing to cheer about until I thought Marshy went and started doing Marchand things. I also thought the fight was nice. And I, you know, I mean, it was appropriate. It was by Connor Clifton. And I mean, I could give that too, but I look, Forbert coming down the side, once Hall decided to move out of the way, basically, and kept, got his feet moving, completely opened up. And the man-to-man defense there took over for Ottawa, and that opened up the lane for Forbert. Mm-hmm. And he just tucked it under the arm of Matt Murray. So we can call all those the spark sharpener,
yeah, like that.
The spark of the game. Everybody knows that getting your hockey skates sharpened can be a hassle, but you don't need to worry anymore with the Spark Skate Sharpener, because you can sharpen your skates at home now with pro-level accuracy. Both Razor and I have one. If you're new to the Morning Brew with Razor and Jaffe, you haven't heard us talk about it, but it is the most simple, easiest, foolproof machine that you can ask for. More than 25 teams now, Razor, are using Spark technology. And basically, you know, at first you're going to pay for the Sparks machine. I think they're going $6.99 now for the smaller one. But when it's all said and done and you use it for a year, year and a half, whether you've got one, two, three, or four people or more using it at home, it's going to more than pay for itself. It's basically only about $1 per sharpening. And if you use Morning Brew at checkout, use Morning Brew promo, you get free shipping on your Sparks skate sharpener. It is highly worth it. So thank you to Sparks for being involved.
Yeah, big tournaments this weekend. My kids, we've got Sparks machines ending up in the vehicles on the way up for the hotel for get
Very
them
smart.
Done, buzz them, four or five games. And in the bowels of the garden, the Senate, everyone, I saw a few Sparks machines down there tonight too. So
they're
no
out
joke.
There.
They're awesome.
No,
they are awesome. No. They are not a joke. They're the real deal.
These guys have, you know, we all have the replaceable, interchangeable blades now and everything. But if a skate needs to come off quickly, if the guy doesn't want to change the blade, they can do it instantly. Keith Robinson, yeah, one of the great equipment guys in the National Hockey League, uses them when possible, when he can. All right, a couple of other things, you know, coming from the game. I want to get your opinion on Swayman, in the sense of just, I don't know if there's a schedule for Thursday's game against Edmonton yet. I don't know, not sure. Everybody will ask Bruce Cassidy tomorrow. But I thought he played with command, control, confidence. And I would say, as much as Linus has been fine his last couple of games, would you go with Swayman again on Thursday, not knowing if there's a schedule or not already out there?
Not knowing the schedule, I think I look at it two ways. These are the two. So on the Swayman side of things, you keep looking at the fact that he hasn't lost in the garden. I look right at the game tonight. He gave up two bad goals or two meh goals.
Mm-hmm. Although he did say the second one, I think it hit something. He didn't love it, but he's like, it hit something, but I got to, you know, like a goalie, I'm telling you what you already know. He had to just let it go.
Yeah, no, that's the point of the first goal. He let it go. He grinded. He got through the first period, 2-1, and then he gives up that goal. And I was back there. I'm not sure what happened. It might mm-hmm. not have hit anything, but he got, you know, he was screened. He was looking. It happens. It pucks go in. It wasn't a big deal.
Right.
If he only gives up two goals, they win that game. You know that. And he, that's what he did. He came up big afterwards. And he has that ability. And I like that ability about him. And that's what's going to make him survive in this league and be successful in this league. So because of the way the game played, I like his win more than I do if he had a shutout and just cruised like the home opener against Dallas. That was a much better game he played against Ottawa for me as a goaltender. I like that better, him finding a way. And then the home record that he has is now up to 7 games at home without losing. The other side of it is they have two back-to-backs coming up on on the next two weekends, it's easy just to keep alternating right now. Rather than start messing around, it's easy to go back to Allmark at home. He had, I thought he was good in Toronto. I think I don't see any fault in his game there. And then you just alternate the next. I don't mind seeing an alternate play here with these goalies for 10, 12, 15 games.
Okay.
I think that serves everybody well.
Okay. And yeah, you're right. It gets everybody going. And after Monday's game, they have, after Sunday night's game, they have 5 days off again. So you want to get everybody playing. So,
you know, and so if you back into this, right, if you back into it and you think about from Allmark's point of view, if he doesn't play Thursday and he only plays one game on the weekend, then he's playing two games in 2 weeks.
Right.
Rather than three games in 2 weeks, just like Allmark. So you can the way the schedule sets up because of that, I think, you know, you go back and back. But because, again, I don't think they're in the business of finding a starting goalie in this part of the schedule. I think it's in the middle of December, later into January.
Okay. Could that starting goalie be Tuukka Rask, given how that situation came out? And we've known, and I've heard that Tuukka's been rehabbing and doing beautifully, and we know he's been on the ice a little bit skating, and now we have pictures we saw wearing a practice jersey, a Bruins practice jersey, out there with working with goalie Bob. And, you know, coming in early, doing his thing. It looks like it. It's the old smoke, there's fire type thing, Razor. It feels like it, right? It's way too far ahead to put you on the spot, but I know I'm going to get put on the spot. So what the hell? I'll do it to my buddy. You know, I mean, do you think it's going in that direction? I guess that's the most obvious question.
It certainly seems so. For me, it's a completely different animal seeing him out there with goalie Bob and the Bruin puck bag and the jersey and Donnie Del Negro on the bench and everyone yucking it up. It looked like just a normal Bruins injured guy out there practicing.
Right.
My vision of it for the next couple months was that it was going to be just him out there on the ice, or him at 8:30 in the morning.
Or like him going, you know,
wasn't going
to. Yeah. Him going to Ryan Rink and skating with a bunch of old farts, you know, at 9. Yeah,
exactly. You know, finding some ice on his own. I know nothing about this. After watching that, I also felt like there has to be, maybe people are in, maybe this whole thing's been planned out. I don't know. Maybe this whole thing's been planned out, you know, for the goalies involved anyways. And there's an idea. It's interesting. It's going to be fascinating because this is coming down the pipe really quick. If he's out there skating like this, he's going to have to start playing with real players within the next 4 weeks.
Well, the next 4 weeks would be mid-December. Then you start practicing. I don't see him though coming back before mid-January, but you're right. But he would still have a month of skating with extras or
with in practice. Real players. Right. And when does he have to sign a contract to do that?
I don't know.
Why does he not have a contract? What's going on right now with that? Well, that was my other thought.
Well, because if you don't have to sign him, every day of not paying him is.
Oh, no. I know why they don't want to sign him. I'm saying, how can he use the facility? How can he have all of those things? How can he have a goalie coach and not be signed?
Well, technically, aren't you just allowed to? I mean, if he gets hurt, it's his own doing, I think, now. My guess, I don't. It's a valid question. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. That was like, how long can he do this? Like, can he skate with injured guys and just be like the emergency goalie?
Why
can
not?
Can he be the emergency goalie for the
next 3 months? Well, technically, he's not retired, right? So he can't be the
emergency goalie. But when can he skate with injured? How long can he skate with injured guys without having to sign a deal?
Great question. I don't know. And I don't think there were any guys out there doing it. He was just working with a coach. You know, could he technically just keep skating on his own? And
then can he practice with the team without signing a contract? Technically, as long as he's not playing games.
Stuff to be answered, stuff to be stuff that will be asked in the short future.
It's coming soon. It's coming way sooner. It's just funny having them out there. It's coming really soon now.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was just one of the last things. The real last thing is, you did ringside. Have you ever done it before anywhere or no? Had you done ringside before?
No. I mean, I felt like the backup goalie. That's what I felt like tonight.
Right.
That was my, you know, but that's all
I've done, yeah. But no, first of all, you did a great job. It's not an easy position. The telecast has so much in it already. It's hard to utilize a ringside person much. I did between the benches at least twice, maybe three times for Nesson. I've done it, I don't know how many. I'm going to say 100 times, but maybe not that many, probably 50 in the NHL between versus – I did it with the Islanders a little. Actually, and I didn't do it with the Islanders. They didn't have in between the benches at home, but between OLN and versus, I did a lot. I love it. I absolutely love being down there because you're in that moment again. And your perspective changes on things, and you miss some things too being that low. But on the other hand, you're just in it more. You know, it's just great. So you did a great job. I mean, for the times you were able to get in. But you made it worth it. It was fun having you and Patrice do that post-game interview. The connection there obviously is great. And so you're going to do that a couple of more times, I believe, for Nesson, right? Or is it a work in progress?
It's a work in progress. I'm back in there Thursday, so we'll see. It wasn't the game flow wasn't good at all in the first period with the penalties. And, you know, that's not going to do me. I need – The best way is when it's like a 6-1 game when you're just talking at that point.
Right.
It doesn't help. But it was fun to be down there. It was fun. I got to see everybody downstairs and a little.
Hoping they put you in the actual well. That's where I do ringside when I do NHL radio for the playoffs. I've done a bunch of runs and the Bruins were in it. I sat in there's behind the nets are these two kind of well areas there. And I sat there for doing it. And I love it from back there. You're just off to the right instead of in the ZAM. You're more behind the net, but they couldn't get in there. Huh? They couldn't get you into that spot.
Couldn't get me in.
Maybe it's because there's already a camera there. Who knows? Anyways, good stuff. A lot of fun. Glad you were able to do that. Get you back at it on Thursday night. All right, so that'll wrap this up from this morning, Brew with Chaffee and Razor. Thank you to Sparks for being a part of the show again, as always. And our next morning brew is going to be on – are we going to do one Thursday? Are you leaving Thursday?
No, Sunday night. Sunday night. We're going to do it Sunday. Monday morning because I'm out of town right after – like I'm flying out of here Thursday night.
Are you driving up to Rochester on Thursday?
I'm driving really fast. Thursday, Friday morning, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe if something big happens in the game on Thursday night with the whole McDavid thing, who knows? We can always fire it up. I'll just take some fan questions or so. I don't know. Let's see. But we're gonna do morning brew Sunday night. So we've got Edmonton on Thursday, New Jersey on Saturday, and is it Montreal on Sunday night?
It's Montreal Sunday, yeah.
Okay. See the Carey Price thing came out with that, by the way?
Good to see him back. He's getting in the mix. And
yeah, but
he's got a long way to go. He acknowledged
he's got a long way to go.
He's not rushing this thing. He's going to figure it out on his own terms.
Yeah, he admitted to substance abuse of some type. Whatever, I don't give a crap what it is. Just please get better.
It's amazing. And again, the other thing that caught my attention in that is a couple years he's been dealing with it. The guy goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. You don't know, guys can. Right. That's how talented these guys are.
Right.
At playing hockey, maybe not. It's, none of us are talented enough to get through life without having issues, but. To play in the NHL and get to the Stanley Cup Finals with these issues. Pretty impressive.
It is very impressive. So we wish him the best continued success. And you're right. Yes, we do see them on Sunday night. All right, that wraps it up. The Boston Bruins win 3-2 over the Ottawa Senators on Tuesday night. Razor and I will be back with you for another morning brew with Jaffe and Razor after Sunday's game. Everybody have a wonderful day. And as always, please, please, please enjoy that coffee.